So here we are. We are looking at August 14th. We are at the new studios at Studio 87, 87 Hazel Avenue on Lawrence Fork Highway in a town called Hazleton. And we will be continuing on with part 30, XXX, of Life Issues 2 of a rehash of a sermon we did 2 weeks ago. It was called Then the Power and Simply Doing Right. But I'm changing it a little bit. I changed it to Benefits in Simply Doing Right. Then I changed it to The Aboundings in Simply Doing from Simply Doing Right. So there's something that comes out of us, out to us, that is a benefit. It's an abounding, as he says, abounding more and more, he says. And it's a power thing, because if we continue to do right, it will give us these things, and it'll give us an encouragement. For example, in the past, the last couple we've talked about here was, it pleases God. It's nice to know that there's some things that we can still do ourselves and please God. We may not be able to please our neighbor, our family, our kids, our friends, our boss. Might not even be able to please ourselves. But to do the right thing, we know that we're able to please God, Romans 8:8, if we follow what Paul teaches. That's the key, is we follow what Paul teaches. It's not a legalistic following. It's just, this is what you do to please God. I mean, he's taking care of the law, and all things are lawful. So, we know, we talked about this, we know that we're doing a reasonable thing to do right. It's not, shouldn't be that big of a battle for us, but we let it be. And we know that there's eternal rewards. We kind of wish we could get those rewards today, but then we know we'd burn them up or use them up or break them or spend them. So it's best that we wait. And it's nice to know, and we've been to all these visitation nights and all these pressure nights to go and visit people and lead them to the Lord, as they say, and be real evangelistic, and we get nervous about it. We don't know what to say to people. Then we see that just living Paul's manner of life presents what he calls an effective communication of our faith. Just by what we do in our personal lives, people will see those things. Unfortunately, they also see the other stuff. And it's even more unfortunate now that they see us do the other stuff. That actually pleases them more than when they see us doing the things that we know, according to the scriptures, rightly divided, that please God. So it's almost like if we're doing something, we have a lot of friends that like it, we're probably doing something wrong or whatever. Anyway, we know that there's a doing the right thing actually helps us know that we're living the liberty in Christ without abusing it. We're not doing it as an occasion for the flesh. We're not doing it we're doing it to edify the body of Christ. We're doing it because it's the right thing to do. It's expedient, and it's not going to cause anybody to stumble, and it doesn't have a power over us. But those are pretty hard things, aren't they? I mean, it's tough not to do something as an occasion for the flesh. We just, we enjoy stuff for the flesh, as we know. Edify the body of Christ, it's the expedient thing, it's the right thing to do. And not causing someone else to stumble, that's pretty tough. Because if we're not going to cause somebody to stumble over doing the right thing, we'll cause somebody to stumble over doing the wrong thing, and we're going to cause somebody to stumble. Why don't we just stay in a little house? Well, that will cause somebody to stumble. So that's a tough thing to weigh in the balance. But it is nice to know that we're in control and we choose not to do something, or we choose to do something. We choose to waste time, or we choose not to waste time. It's a choice we make. Romans chapter 6, the second half, reminds us that anything we do now is because we choose to. We are not bonded. We are not attached to our flesh. If we follow the flesh now, it's a choice we make. But there's that. So now tonight, then there's one more we looked at. We're not ashamed of the body of Christ. We're not ashamed of the testimony of Jesus Christ. Nor are we ashamed of Paul. So doing the right thing, what we wear, where we go, da-da-da-da, is actually, because it's a proper testimony, it tells people that we're not ashamed of Paul. Because Paul asked us to do this. The risen Savior asked us to do this. We're around people who are not ashamed to talk about Jesus. It's kind of a common word around here. We got Catholics and Lutherans, so they all talk about Jesus when they're kind of spiritual, they're not drinking or something. But to not be ashamed of Paul, that's tough. That's the tough. Nobody's talking about Paul or talking, dressing like Paul or acting like Paul tells us to. So there was that one. That was number 5. So tonight, August 14th, right? I think I said August 14th. we are going to look at a couple more. And this is a tougher one. To do the right thing, it shows our children a right example. Or it shows someone else a right example to be for somebody. Now, in Titus, we know in Titus chapter 2, it talks about, let's go there, Titus chapter 2. It talks about aged men, talks about aged women, talks about young women, young men, pretty much covers it all. So, looking to follow Paul's writings with Timothy and Titus, we realize that Titus has some things in there written to a woman. He's got some things in there written to a mother, to a father. He's got some specific things written as a wife towards her, towards the dad, and as a wife towards the husband. Husband towards the mother, husband towards the wife. There are some specific things in there, and you need to just read through specific, especially more than anything, Timothy and Titus. So, let's look here, for example, at 1 Timothy chapter 4. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 12 says this. It says, till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. What are we talking about here? Well, let's go up to 12. Let no man despise thy youth. Ah, there's the young stuff right there. So see, as a parent to read this, we should be happy that our children would ever decide to make this choice in their life. Wouldn't it be nice if your teenager read this and saw here that what Paul's talking about here is, well, you know, I'm a young person, but let no man despise thy youth. Don't do something as a young person. It would cause people to despise you. Be thou an example of the believers in word. Here's your ways. In word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity. Till I come, and then notice that till I come is Paul. We're not talking about Jesus comes. Till Jesus comes, and no, it's till I come. Give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. Now, he's talking specifically to Timothy because he says in this next verse, neglect not the gift that is in thee, which was given thee by prophecy with the laying on of the hands of the presbytery. If we look at that today as this is what the preachers do in the church, and they put their hands on you, well, this is not what this is. This was back in Timothy and Paul's day, and those kind of things took place. Now we know we got the King James Bible. You've heard me say this before. And even though these are what Paul was telling you, Timothy, these things are still to be passed on to other men. Chapter 2, 2 Timothy says, and the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men, who should be able to teach others also. So this is rightly dividing. We should be able to tell which ones of these teachings in Timothy and Titus are to women, to men, etc., etc. But the ones that are to the men, and specifically towards Timothy, I can hear men going, well, that's not to me, that's to Timothy. And I'm not going to be a pastor or preacher or anything like that, so that really isn't something I need to do. Yes, you're the father, you're the husband. And he's passing it on to a good man who's going to pass it on to others. That's our job as men. Okay, so we can't get out of that one. Let's look here at Ephesians chapter 6. I know of so many parents that are mad because their kids get excited about something spiritually. And I probably even say either right or wrong. You know, if a kid comes home and it's something that doesn't agree with your King James Bible, to come home with a new Bible or something someday, then I would feel kind of bad because apparently I haven't done a good enough job that teaches my kids, you know, those kind of choices. But then you get old enough and your kids get old enough that they make their own choices and they make some pretty dumb ones. And, boy, you know, I didn't teach you that. I didn't teach you how to do that. I didn't teach you that. So those things happen. And there's not much you can do about it. It just happened. They've had another influence somewhere that maybe you allowed it, you shouldn't have allowed it, who knows, for this kind of stuff to take place. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 1, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. And it says children. And if you notice the homeschoolers and the people that really take care of their children for Bible scriptures and stuff, it's always the little kids in the family that do really well. But the older kids, you can see them standing over in the corner. They're not excited. I don't want to be here. That kind of thing. Well, it's the children. It's the little ones that get the spankings if they don't do it. It's the little ones that want to please mom and dad. So they do these things, and they're the ones that really get going. But by the time you get up to the junior high and high school, they see none of this religious stuff come true. So they've got this void and this bitter attitude towards whatever whoever this God is. But it's a tough series that takes place. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and thy mother, which is the first commandment with promise. What's the promise? Well, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. Well, are we concerned about that one today? Can we leave that one out because of that's not the way Paul talks about today? Well, that's true. And it says here, which is the first commandment with promise, and that promise was that be well with thee, that thou mayest live as long on the earth. We know back in the Old Testament, these kids that are doing wrong, God would kill them. You know, all these guys, kids still chasing the prophet, and he puts a bear to them and all that stuff. So, you know, that's what we're talking about here. And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath. What if they get angry? Well, that's not your job. I mean, that's not your fault. Unless you're prodding them to get angry. I know a couple young people, illustrations or whatever, that their parents just treat them horrible all the time. And then they respond back the same way. And it's not a good thing. It's not a good scene. Same thing with a boss at work. We could be a neighbor. You know, how do we respond to people? Well, when it comes to children, they don't need to respond with wrath, and hopefully dad is not prodding them to wrath as well. Still Ephesians chapter 6. I'm sorry, look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. Just over a couple of pages, chapter 2, verse 11. What am I doing in Colossians? I want first. This will be the wind blew it over my fan. 1 Thessalonians 2:11. There we go. As you know how we exhorted and comforted and charged every one of you as a father does his children. That little phrase right there has become one of my more favorite verses when it comes to counseling parents or talking to parents, talking to dads especially. And I remember this verse as a verse that I didn't do. I spent more time comforting than I did charging or exhorting, so that was out of balance. Makes them into softy kids. We know there are people that there are men that love to exhort and they love to charge. They love to preach to their children, kind of a thing. But they leave out the comfort. So that's a pretty powerful verse for a father. A mother as well, but especially a father. Because that's what the job father does. He exhorts, comforts, and charges every one of them. And then he says in 12 that you would walk worthy of God. And people say, I want you to walk worthy of my name as a father. We have a reputation to maintain. I don't want you to spoil my reputation. Well, it's the same thing as a Christian. That he would walk worthy of God with our walk. We know that Christ and through Paul, King James Bible, we know it's there for exhorting. We know it's there for being charged. And we know it's there for comfort. And you sit down and read your Bible, just be comforted. Okay. Let's go on to another. How are we doing for time? Well, I'm just getting sleepy. My room is so stuffy here. Let's go to another one here. Let's go to 2 Timothy chapter 2. These are the benefits or joys or whatever of doing the right thing. The battle we have with our flesh, with our neighbors and our fathers and da-da-da-da. You know, let's just do something right. Let's get up in the morning. Let's do something right within the first hour, you know. So if we go to 2 Timothy chapter 2, you know what this verse is. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15. Study to show thyself a workman. I proved unto God a workman that is not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. So we know that we're trying to live according to the rightly divided truth. But we need to realize that we are not, we know we have the confidence in knowing that we're not listening to profane and vain babblings. It gives us a confidence in what we're hearing. We're getting a confidence in what we're being told. We're getting a confidence in what we're reading. Hopefully what you're being told and what somebody says to you is because they're not wrongly dividing or they're not manipulating the scriptures and this type of a thing. You know. But if worse comes to worse, you got your Bible. You sit down there and let that thing comfort you. As it says, it's going to challenge and it's going to charge you. But that's because we know it's the rightly divided word of God. And it is not profane and vain babblings. That's just a good thing. I mean, isn't that just a kind of a joyful thing to be aware of. Okay, so that's a quick one. We always think about the rightly dividing the truth, verse 15. But let's look at 16. Let's emphasize 16. Shun profane and vain babbling. So that's what we're doing. So, and increase unto more ungodliness. Their ways will eat us, doth they can't care. See, we're not worrying about that stuff. We're staying away from that stuff. That's a good thing. Yeah. Hey, yay. You know. So what do we got here? We got this one. Let's do this. That gives us two more. Let's set this aside for the night before I do fall asleep here. But let's say I can see the rest of these. I want to save for Sunday morning and Sunday night. These are some powerful jobbers here. So let's just take heed of what we heard tonight about being an example for others and the joy of knowing we're not following vain and profane babblings.